I'm Dan, and there is no Alex on today's episode, guys. He was unable to make it. I was debating whether or not we should even make an episode today, especially given that Alex couldn't come on, but I decided it's better to come on and say something and, you know, share a few stories that might help distract you from the news cycle and the election results in the United States. I assume all of you know by now what has happened, or it's pretty much a guaranteed victory for President Trump at the point that this episode is being recorded. So, of course, this will have a lot of impact on aviation. During the last election, or during Trump's last term in office, of course, we saw things like the Qatar blockade be introduced by some countries in the Gulf. I wouldn't expect something like that to happen again this time. Of course, during the latest Biden administration, a lot more things have happened with airspace, such as Russian airspace becoming unavailable to most Western airlines, for example. There's a lot of airspace questions that Alex and I bring up a lot on the podcast. So, of course, we'll be monitoring this to try to see what implications America First will have on global aviation, besides all the other impacts it will have on the lives of a lot of people, not least Oscar and I. But I don't want to dwell on this too much today. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of fear. I just want to share some maybe good or exciting news from this week to take your mind off things and take you just into the world we love so much of aviation for a few minutes alone, so that, yeah, I can also get my mind off things a little bit. One great piece of news coming out of one vote, at least, was that yesterday, or actually 2 days ago at this point, on Tuesday, the day before US Election Day, Boeing machinists, who were on strike for several months, finally approved the new contract, meaning the work producing Boeing aircraft like the 737 MAX will now, or should be, into as full swing as it can be, given the scrutiny that they have been under, not least from the US government, for well-documented safety and production issues. So that means Boeing can reduce or resume deliveries. Of course, the entire industry is struggling with delivery delays. Airlines, even Emirates with their A350, have really, really been impacted by this. So, of course, I'm also curious, given Trump's tweets about Boeing last year, he said that Boeing really needs to get things together. Let's see what happens with Boeing in this case, because they've been really struggling financially over the past few years, not least during the strike. So that will be another story that we'll catch up on, but good news that deliveries can resume. Airlines will be happy about that. And the environment, if there's any good news for the environment, it should be happy about that as well, now that more fuel efficient aircraft are being introduced. Another niche story that someone sent this to me. I'm sorry, I can't find where the message came from, but there is a new airline on the horizon in the United Arab Emirates. So, of course, that's the country of Emirates, of Etihad, these huge super connectors. Then we also have smaller narrow body super connectors, such as Fly Dubai, which connects a lot of secondary cities in Europe and Asia, also Africa, the Indian subcontinent. And we have Air Arabia, based in Sharjah and in Abu Dhabi, which is a bit of a low cost connector in the region. Well, there is another airline coming, and we don't really have any details on this yet. But if you go to damakair.com, you will see a countdown clock until who knows what. But there is an image here of a Damak Air 787-8, slightly incorrect proportions, I must say, which is quite frustrating. But I recommend going to this website, because this suggests there is a new luxury airline coming to the UAE by luxury property developer Damak. So if you've ever been in Dubai, you'll have seen there's a lot of Emaar signs all over the place. Well, Damak is one of the biggest competitors for Emaar, so you'll also see Damak signs here and there. Apparently, they are launching an airline. This seems like more of a vacation airline, because on their website, they mention the serenity of Bali, the waters of the Maldives, the vibrant spirit of Hawaii. That seems a bit questionable, given how far Hawaii is from the UAE. So it seems like this is a vacation airline of sorts, probably well, we really don't know what to expect here. They don't have any aircraft on order. Obviously, we don't know anything about this airline. We don't know where they'll be based, which airport in the UAE. But given that this was sent out by the official Damak account, and given that there is a website, it seems like this is actually happening. And I haven't seen any other blog articles or anyone mention this airline yet. But we will be keeping an eye on it, because it's always interesting when a new airline comes to the region with so many young airlines, so many young, huge airlines, not least Riyadh Air, which is supposed to launch operations next year in 2025. So exciting times if you live in the UAE, perhaps. Speaking of the Middle East, US pre-clearance has now opened in the new Abu Dhabi terminal, Terminal A. I, of course, say that I think this is one of my favorite airport terminals in the world. I think it's my favorite airport terminal in the Middle East now that it has opened. And now they have a US pre-clearance facility. When they opened that new terminal in December, it was originally still in Terminal 3. So that was where all flights, Etihad and others, departed prior to the new terminal opening. But they weren't able to move the US pre-clearance facility while or in time for the new terminal to open. So what they ended up doing is all or certain actually US bound flights would still leave from Terminal 3. So people would have to drive to Terminal A and then take a bus to be shuttled to the old rickety terminal at Terminal 3 to then clear US immigration in Abu Dhabi so that they could arrive in the US as a domestic flight, which is a cool concept that I've actually never tried as a US citizen. At least I can breeze through with global entry and such. But yeah, this will be cool to try, and it's good news for any Etihad flyers going to the US, because I know a lot of non-US citizens love having pre-clearance, because it means you don't have the risk of being rejected when you get to the US, or if you need to be interrogated, at least you haven't made it to your destination yet. You're in maybe a more comfortable place or a place where you're closer to home. So if there are any problems, that won't happen after you land in the US, and you'll be sent straight back in an economy class middle seat where you came from. This week, we also saw Riyadh Air be confirmed as an unannounced Airbus customer from earlier this year, as they announced they are ordering the Airbus A321neo. These aren't supposed to enter service for a few years, so next year, Riyadh Air is allegedly starting operations with a 787-9, although we know how delayed Boeing deliveries are and seat manufacturer deliveries are, so I wouldn't necessarily count on that, but the plan is 2025, and then these A321neos are scheduled to be delivered, I think starting in 2026, but it will be a process of growing the fleet for a few years after that. So Riyadh Air now has wide bodies and narrow bodies in the mix, and I think we, Alex and I, would both agree that it's a good decision that they chose the A321neo, because yeah, the 737 MAX, although it's a comfortable plane, has had its fair share of issues. Qatar Airways has officially grounded their fleet, not for any safety reasons, but they had, I think, 3 aircraft that were still flying for them. The rest have been leased to Indigo. They're still flying in Qatar Airways colors, but they are just serving Indigo flights between India and Doha. The other 3 that they had are now comfortably parked at Doha International Airport. So not Hamad, but the old airport. They're all sitting there awaiting their fate, probably being returned to the lesser. Not so exciting times for people at Air Canada, because Air Canada, like most airlines, are struggling with a fleet shortage. What are they doing to remedy that? They are bringing back a couple of Boeing 767s to service. So hopefully these will be used just domestically or within North America for flights. But yes, they're bringing back these aircraft that were retired during the pandemic. We've seen a few other airlines do this, like Lufthansa, where they backpedaled on a decision to retire the A340-600s and the A380s. Now Air Canada is the latest airline to say, we need more planes. It is interesting that they're bringing back just a couple of 767s, because you might think, isn't that quite an expensive and inefficient thing to do? Well, honestly, since Air Canada already flies freight 767s, at least they still have or already have the maintenance going for those. So yeah, they just need to whip these back into service, and we hope they don't end up on too long flights. They do have lie-flat seats in business class. And frankly, although the economy class cabins on these aircraft are outdated, they do have the best economy class configuration in the world, since unlike any other aircraft, you only have a 2-3-2 configuration. So that's even what you find in business class on the likes of Emirates and Turkish Airlines, for example. But here in economy, it's great for traveling with a family or with a partner, since you can have just two seats on the side and you have high odds of not ending up in a middle seat. So from that perspective, this is good news as well. But of course, it's interesting. Also, Lufthansa is planning to fly A350s from Frankfurt. So if you don't know how Lufthansa's concept works, basically, they base different aircraft types at one of each of their hubs. So when it comes to Frankfurt, they have the 747, the A3, no, not the A3, 747, 787, A340, and A330 based there. And then in Munich, they have the A380 and the A350. So until now, the only A350 pilots that Lufthansa has have been based in Munich. But due to delivery delays again, Lufthansa is having to get creative, so they're sending a few A350s to Frankfurt, which will probably mean that they have Munich-based pilots flying out of there as well. The reason is that Lufthansa loves beef between its two airports. Either it's beefing with Frankfurt or it's beefing with Munich. At the moment, they're in their beefing with Munich era because Munich has had so many delays this summer. If you guys didn't see this, I posted a reel a few months ago about one of the most chronically delayed fleets in the world, which is Lufthansa's A380 fleet out of Munich. I haven't checked recently if that's gotten better, but all summer there were certain flights that were significantly delayed every single day out of Munich. But then I realized after I posted that it's not only the A380, it's actually A350 flights as well. So Munich has suffered from severe understaffing. That means Lufthansa is trying to get cozy with Frankfurt again and send a few more aircraft and a bit more capacity up there. That's a bit of an overview of the industry for this week, guys. I know this is a very different and unusual episode. I just wanted to come here and provide a few updates that will be more fun, hopefully, next week coming up. By the way, I want to provide a little update now that Alex is not here to say anything bad about it, about our Qatar A380 first class video that you guys have been patiently waiting for, that Alex has been pestering me for. Of course, the context here that is that Alex does not have a YouTube channel and has no idea how much work it takes to make one video. But the other thing is that this video is actually going to be posted on my vlog channel. It's not going to be a main channel video because it's not a review. And I discussed the video a bit with Alex, given the footage that we have and everything. And I said, yeah, based on what I could add to this video, I don't think it's good to make it a main channel video. So it will be up on my vlog channel. But the problem there is that I don't have time to actually edit those videos myself. I'm working hard enough on my main channel with everything I've got going on and with my Points Master program. So for every video that's been on my vlog channel, I've had an editor. But right now, I'm between editors, so to speak. I have been for a few months, which is why there hasn't been any content on that channel. So I'm working really hard to hire an editor because I honestly do not have the time. As much as I want to post this video, I do not have the time to sit down and organize it and edit it. So soon, hopefully soon, I will have someone who can help me with that. Then I'll put the finishing touches on it, the finishing sparkle, and it will be ready. But please stop pestering me in my comments about the video, because just trust my judgment when I say I know this is not a video for the main channel. It's very entertaining, but if it was for the main channel, trust me, I would be prioritizing it and it would be out soon. I have some very fun main channel videos coming soon and some very juicy ones. So stay tuned for that and just enjoy the process of waiting. I know you have way bigger concerns potentially today. Anyway, so on that note, I don't want to have a really somber episode. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to, you know, manage my feelings about everything and worry for the future, and sending lots of hugs and love and just thanks for always supporting me and Alex and tuning in every week. It is really an enjoyable part of our weeks, as we always say. And we are just grateful to have you guys and to have this wonderful on-air community. So Alex and I will see you next week on air. And thanks for tuning in.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.